This is a Defocus Media production.
Welcome to the Depth Perception Pod. How's everybody today?
All good.
Great.
Should we introduce ourselves, or you think everyone knows us by now?
Introduce yourself. I don't know you guys.
That's fine. No problem. I'm Dr. Nadia.
Woo-hoo.
Dr. Sony.
Okay.
Dr. Kitty.
There's no one in
Svetlana.
Siri?
Siri wants an intro too.
Siri wants an intro. But we got a more special guest than Siri. Who do we got today, guys?
Yeah. Tell us all about you and who you are and what's been going on. Tell us where you work. We just want a little bio on you.
Mm-hmm. I am Dr. Angelica Cifuentes. I work out of Miami, Florida. I'm an optometrist, obviously. I am the CEO and co-founder of By Dry Eyes. I am also a Contact Lens Institute Visionaire board member and a transitions agent, and that's how I know my friends here.
Yeah, it's actually, isn't it like Latino Heritage time?
It is. It started September 15th. October 15th.
This year to represent.
I'm Colombian. Thank you for that.
Do you celebrate in any way?
Yes and no. It's more like social media, I feel. We celebrate like the Independence Day of Colombia, but that's like not this month. But no, not really.
Nice. What part of Colombia are you from?
Cali. And so I was born in Cali. My dad's from Medellin. I feel like that's for everyone. Everybody knows Medellin, and that's like my dad's side. And then I was born in Cali. But not California, Cali, Colombia.
I've been to Colombia, actually.
You've never been?
I have been, yeah.
Oh, where? What part?
We went to Cartagena, so we went to like the port and stuff. Yeah. It was really nice, actually. So
yeah, that's the tourist.
Colombia.
The food is.
All right, so why optometry? Tell us about like what school you went to, what year you graduated.
So optometry, honestly, because of my brother. I remember one day he thought his contact lens was stuck in the back of his eye and his brain floating around. And I was like, at the time, I wasn't even into optometry, but I was taking anatomy. I was like a pre-med student. And so I was like, listen, like, there's no anatomical way that the contact lens can be in your brain. He's like, you know nothing. Take me to the eye doctor. And I was like, you know what? You're right. So I took him to the eye doctor, and then I met my mentor, who became my mentor. I met the doctor. And then I just asked her, hey, do you think that I like the fact that he went in so concerned and walked out so calm. So I asked her, do you think I can shadow you? And she said, yes. Sure enough, Monday, 9 o'clock, I was there. And that one week, I saw so many things. I saw my first retinal attachment. I mean, I didn't see it myself, but I experienced like the whole chaos and stuff. And I was just like, this is beautiful. I love this. I want to do this for the rest of my life. So I started shadowing her for like 2 years. And then very long story short, I worked in the field in every single aspect of optometry you can ever think of, except being a rep. And then I became an optometrist. That's my why in a longer short format. what was your other question?
So tell us what school you graduated from and when.
Yeah, so I graduated 2022 from Nova Southeastern University here in, well, not in Miami, but in Florida, Florida.
And where are you practicing now?
Currently, I am in the area of Pinecrest, so Miami, Florida still, but there's like a section called Pinecrest, and that's where I'm at right now.
Nice. So, Svet, you want to take this next half?
Yeah. Well, actually, I wanted to ask a question. What kind of practice are you in? Like, is this a regular private practice? Do you have a specialty? Can you describe that to us?
Yeah. So, I'm split between commercial and private practice. So, I work the commercial side. But within the commercial side, I've been able to develop my open management clinic within that commercial, which is beautiful. I love myopia. So, I found that to be very interesting. And then at the private practice, I see, you know, primary care, but also dry eye. So I have two of my favorites, which is myopia and dry eye, and different spots.
Okay, and bringing us to dry eye brings us to talk about the business. So can you tell us, give us an introduction of the business, and then tell us why you started it?
So By Dry Eyes is the company's my baby. It was born January of this year. It actually all came about when I graduated optometry school. I remember having a conversation with my husband, and I told him, hey, I would love to have a private practice that's like a boutique for dry eye. And he's like, you just graduated. I'm like, I know, but like, you know, I want to do this. And then I was very inspired by Carly Rose. And I was like, I loved her practice. I was like, man, I really would love to have something like that. So, you know, obviously at the time it was way too premature. But then a few days later, he called me and he was like, I have an idea. Do you want to talk business? I'm like, yes. So he's always wanted to have a business. He just didn't know in what. And I really wanted this dry eye situation. So long story short, I came home and he was just like, listen, like, I think we should do like an e-commerce and do a website for dry eye products, since you want to get into the dry eye space. And so I was like, yeah, I like that. And then normally I say don't mix business with pleasure. But I have been with my husband for so many years that I was like, he's my best friend. Let's do it. So we started working on the business. I think the hardest part was at the beginning, the name, because it has to be something that has to like click. And so the funniest thing happened, the way they came up, he had a whole list and I was like, no, 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 no. And then one time, I think it was like 12:30, and I was ready to go to sleep. And then I turned around and I was like, Buy Dry Eyes. And I fell asleep. And he, I don't know what he did, but the next morning I woke up and he's like, got the domain. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. So, I know, right? And then By Dry Eyes, well, we named it By Dry Eyes, and then we started with the whole logo. So it took from graduation all the way to January of this year to build the behind the scenes of the business, the contracts with the companies, et cetera, et cetera. But essentially what it is a website where you can purchase all dry eye products that our patients might need. I feel like we are constantly recommending drops, heat mask, wipes, I mean, you name it. And so I kind of wanted to have like a little Amazon for dry eyes from a place that you can trust, right? Because I feel like Amazon, you really don't know where you're getting stuff from. It could be a third party, who knows where they're storing stuff, versus I know how I'm handling my business and I only want the best for my patients. So I feel like it's a reliable source where doctors and patients can get whatever items they need for dry eyes in one place. That's it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Good question. Yeah, do you have a set inventory like within you, or do you have them ship from like the manufacturer?
No, I have the inventory. So I carry the inventory. So everything is processed in-house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like, crazy to think that you like just graduated in 2022, right? Like you're talking about you're interested in myopia management, dry eye, and we're leaving out a lot of the story, right? Like you're a big social media influencer and now you're posting and you have these things to post about. How has this business changed your social media? And tell us more about your social media and where you want to go with it.
Yeah. So Tiny Optometrist was born when I started optometry school, and first year was so horrible for me that I only posted like maybe twice in the whole year. And so then I took it serious with my best friend Mel in second year, and then it took off, right? Then when this By Dry Eyes business came about, I said, we have to bring it up in social media. Like this has to be social media based as well. So we created a separate page, but I didn't want to mix Tiny Optometrist and By Dry Eyes together because it's two different identities. And as Tiny Optometrist, I like to share more than just dry eye. And I also don't want to just be pushy and be like, By Dry Eyes, By Dry. You know what I mean? Like, I am a very transparent person, I feel like, in social media, and I like to give my very honest opinion about everything. And so I didn't want it to be like the same person, Tiny Optometrist, as By Dry Eyes. So I separated them. Of course, because of who I am and because I share everything, the stuff that I do use on my daily eyelid hygiene and like my day-to-day come from my website. So of course I'm going to link it and show it because it is ultimately my business. But on, and I do some collaborations between both pages. If I'm doing a post that has to do with dry eye, of course, I'm going to collaborate it with my dry eyes. But I find that I tend to do more dry eye focused on my dry eyes, like more content guided towards dry eye at, on that page versus Tiny Optometrist, where I just share my day-to-day, my craziness, the gym, and my stories. You know, like, I share me and who I am, and I feel like that's how I build the trust of everyone on social media. And then whoever wants to support me and carry me to the other side, love that, because, you know, it is hard being a new graduate with this idea, being ambitious. Like, the world can come sometimes at you because you have all of this and they're, like, trying to diminish you. But, you know, being who I am, I just like to share, still share me on Tiny Optometrist and my new baby and passion on my dress.
What about your other baby, your duck?
Oh my God.
I was about the duck.
Oh my God. Jeez, let me tell you, she's... I'm doing an eye exam today and my, I have this thing. Normally I put it on like do not disturb because I get easily distracted. But then I received a text from my husband. He's like, I can't find banana in the lake. Girlfriend, when I told that patient to read The Smallest Land three times because I just couldn't, I couldn't process what was happening right now. I'm like, why? I can't concentrate. No. I have a patient in front of me and then I'm thinking of banana not being in the lake, possibly dead. And I'm like, I'm going to collapse. But I feel, I'm like, you know what?
What banana's about. It's just the backstory here.
So Banana's a baby duck that I rescued 3 months ago, a yellow baby duck, and the mom was trying to kill her. At the time, I thought it was a boy, but it's a girl. And I rescued Banana, and I took care of Banana like my child. I think Banana brought on this motherhood that I didn't even know I had inside of me. And I recently, like about a month, I would say, Banana decided to stay out in the lake of my backyard. And it's been a very hard process for me. She's happy. She's living life. She's swimming. She flies now. But yeah, I guess that I go give her food every morning. And every time I get out of work, I go feed her because I just need to make sure she's okay. But anyway, from this morning, I got later a text, like, I found her. She was hiding. She's alive. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, because I can't handle this. It's horrible. Like, I should be like, it's fine, but like, it's not. That's my baby.
I love seeing your banana stories, and I follow Banana's Instagram too. It is the cutest.
I have so many videos. I have to post more, but yes.
Also, I wanted to say how proud I am of the business that you started, and seeing how you graduated and then you were able to do this. So you're gonna do so much more. I already know it. I think all of us already know it. I also feel how can I say it? I almost feel like I'm also part of the team a little bit as like a student ambassador, sharing about the company at school. Mm-hmm. And I feel very honored that you asked me to be a part of the team.
Thank you. So the reason behind having affiliates was really because since I'm in the commercial side of optometry, and I feel like there's a lot of new graduates or even just doctors who are recommending, let's say, XYZ drop to, I don't know, CVS, Walgreens, but they're not getting anything truly in return. They're getting the patients to take care of their dry eye, but they're not seeing anything. Plus, you don't even know if they're actually following through or not with whatever you're saying. So this mind behind that, the idea behind that for me personally was I want to be able to share this with people. I want to be able to have doctors to recommend the products that they want with a personalized code so like that the patient can get one a discount, but also the doctor can get commission off of that. And since you receive an email confirming that the patient got whatever it is, then you keep track of like, oh, okay, they actually got whatever it is that I wanted them to get, right? So I feel like success doesn't come from one person, it comes from a team. And the way I felt like I could share this with my peers was by creating an affiliate program. And so thank you for being part of it. Doug is also part of it.
Yeah, I'm a part of the team too. Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm super, super happy. And you guys have no idea. There's so much behind the scenes struggles and like different obstacles that you have to to go through and like how to best approach a customer service. Like there's so much behind this that, you know, being able to have other doctors share a little piece of my business, to me, I'm the one that's honored, to be honest.
How do you balance everything? Because we were just, you know, actually before this, we're talking about like our own balance with the pod and our lives and just getting it going. And you have all these other things going. You have a duck, for crying out loud. You know, like how are you balancing all of these things?
Honestly, my husband's my rock, straight up.
Okay, I can get a husband.
Right. He really is the man who is behind the scenes. So he's a very much of an introvert. I'm an extrovert. Perfect match. So he does all the behind the scenes, you know, customer service and whatever it is that needs to be taken care of. He takes care of that. He's the man for that. Of course, if there's something that he needs my help with, he'll reach out. And then like in between things, like in between patients or like during lunch or like before work. Like at the beginning, it was waking up early and it was like by dry eyes. Things go to work and then by dry eye things again in the gym, and the gym is like my that's why I call it therapy. I'm like, it's my me time. But that's kind of how it's, at the beginning it was like that. It was just like on and on and on. Now he does a lot more than me. I do more of like the social media aspect and the talking to the doctors and talking to like the companies as far as like contracts and stuff like that. But he's my behind the scenes. Without him, honestly, this by itself, by myself, there's no way. I have so many things going on. There's just no way.
And you're not just saying that because he's holding the camera right there?
Yeah.
No, actually, he left. Because check this out. I cannot record. I can't record or talk in front of people. It's so weird. I don't know if this happens to you guys. But like, I can't
I can't do it.
You're like that?
I'm like that. Yeah. I'm like, close the door or something. Like, I don't want to, I just feel weird. Like people watching me do my thing.
If it's I'm like, I can't. So like, even like when I go record my reels, I close and I'm like, nobody watch me because I will collapse. So I told them, I'm like, I'm going to the pod and I'm going to be downstairs. So either you stay in the office or like leave because I just can't do it. And he's like, I'm like, you got to get out.
What? It's so late. Where did you send him?
I don't know. He left. I was like, bye.
Oh, go for a drive.
Banana.
It's rainy, so I hope not. I don't even know. Maybe he's in the car. Who knows? But he's letting me do my thing.
We'd love to have him on the pod, so you got to get him to be a little extra.
I know. I need to like give him some drinks. Awesome.
But regardless, to be able to like do something so creative, like we're all in optometry here. How many people do we know that could actually do something and persevere through it? Like, I guess we're all lucky. We've gotten to know you a little bit, so we kind of see why it makes sense. Like, why you're so unique and how you can make this work. One thing that that stuck out from our conversation when I got to know you a little better on the beach was you told me like your journey from like coming to America and your family and being Latina, and I think that may influence you in how you're being so creative and not afraid to fail. Do you mind like talking about that parallel or your background?
Yeah, of course. So that's going to be, we need a whole part for that. An emotional one because oof. But I feel like being an immigrant, so I'm a first generation, literally everything. Being an immigrant, coming to United States, having that like culture shock was the first thing.
At what age
did
you come?
When I was 12. So okay. When I was 12 years old in Colombia, I was advanced as kids, first grade. Oh. And so when I got to the state, I was 12 years old, but I was in the middle of eighth grade. And so they did like a test on like for my knowledge, I guess. And I landed in 10th grade knowledge, but they needed me to learn the language. So they offered me to go into 10th grade, but I was 12. Let's keep in mind, I was 12 years old. So they offered me to go into 10th grade. And learn the language. My mom was like, absolutely, yes, of course. But my dad was like, chill, like, let her decide, because it's a big thing. Like, it's not only a culture shock, a new language, no friends, I knew nobody here. So he's like, think about it, whatever. So I remember that night and I was like, No, because in my head, the schooling system was like Mean Girls. And I know it sounds so stupid, but in my head, that's how it was. Like, I knew nothing. So I was just like, oh, no. So then I stayed in eighth grade. Mama was devastated, but I stayed in eighth grade. They didn't push me back. Normally, kids who come from another state, they push them back. But they let me stay. And I stayed in eighth grade. I remember that clock, that white with like black clock, you know what I'm talking about? That middle school clock.
Yeah.
The normal clock. On top of the board. I would look at it and I'm like, okay, the class is 45 minutes. So I'll calculate 30 minutes and 30 minutes of the entire time while everyone was doing whatever they had to do, I was learning English. Like I was like reading the dictionary and whatever. And then 15 minutes before class would end, I'll calculate and do whatever it is that I had to do because it was so easy for me. And that's kind of how I did eighth grade and how I learned English for the most part. And then ninth grade, I got out of like the English program thing and I was with what I called the regular kids. I was dying to be part of the regular kids. I hated being the ESL. I was like, no, I want to be part of the regular kids. And then I was finally part of, to me, it was like a huge accomplishment. And so then after I got honors, whatever, and, you know, moved on with my schooling. But being an immigrant and seeing the sacrifice, the humongous sacrifice my parents did to get me here, for me to stay. My dad is a construction worker. So I would see his hands swollen, his knees swollen. Sometimes he would take me, like, I'll be like, oh, can you take me to your job? And I'll see him on Saturday. That's why I'm getting emotional. I'll see him on Saturdays. And like, to me, seeing that sacrifice, I was like, I have to make something of myself. I have to do this for them because they did this for me. So now it's my, in a way, it's my turn to pay them back. They've never pushed on me any career whatsoever. They've been more like, you do you. I've always been into school. So they knew I was going to do something. What? Nobody knew. So, but yeah, seeing all that sacrifice, seeing essentially them trying to follow the American dream, still being immigrants, the whole immigration process, that takes a toll on a family on a level that if you haven't experienced it yourself, it's unbelievable. So that was always like my motor, like that's like the fuel within me to like make it and do something. And when I fell in love with optometry, I was like, this is it, this is what I'm gonna do. My parents have always 100%, both of them supported me on everything that I do. My siblings too, they're like, oh my God, you're amazing. They also have seen like the full sacrifice in optometry school. As all of you know, it's a humongous sacrifice. And so finally, like when graduating, I feel like that day that I walked stage and when I received my diploma at home, I gave it to my parents and I was like, this is yours. And they were like, my dad was super emotional. It was like a whole situation. But yeah, I feel like being an immigrant, those roots and that like hardship that I have to have gone. So yeah, like having that hardship and like being able to make something out of nothing takes a lot. And I learned discipline. I learned perseverance. I learned to be honest. I learned so much from just seeing my parents and what they did to be able to bring me to where I'm at, that every single day, there's no excuse. There's no excuse why I can't make it. There's no reason. So I'm either, something my mom used to tell me growing up was, if you're going to do something, do it 100% or just don't do it at all. And that's still something that to today, I practice. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to get my head in and just do it 100%. If I'm not going to give it my all, I'm just not going to do it. And so, yeah, that's like the fire within me to still to today, make it and make sacrifices, wake up early. Like if I have to do certain things, and that goes back to like juggling all the hats that I put in a day, I schedule it and I'm like, there's no reason why I can't do this. Like my parents did this, I could do this. Like I need to do this. So it's just that, it's kind of like wanting to prove myself, wanting to honor my parents, wanting to just be someone, and especially being Latina, like there's so, you need to be an inspiration to others. Like there's other people looking at you. And now with social media, I have all of these eyes that I never even, in a million years, would have thought that I was even the inspiration to one person ever. And when I get those sweet messages, I'm like, you're kidding. Like, this is fake. Like, somebody pinched me because it's fake. And, now I'm like, I have to be able to inspire others. But again, show them that not everything is beautiful and perfect. No, there's a lot of imperfections. It took a lot to get to where I'm at. There was a lot of downs, a lot of ups. Like, it was never that smooth. Like, I wish it was like, I went to school, graduated, went to this. No, like, I started optometry school when I was 27. So, and I graduated high school at 16. So you already know there's a huge gap. And obviously throughout those years, there was a lot of ups and downs that shaped me and built me into who I am today and why I do the things I do. So,
I think a lot of what you're saying is, just like it hits home for us, especially on this podcast, because we're all from like ethnic cultural backgrounds and we're all like first generational. So it's amazing to see the fire that you have in you, but we all have a little bit of that in us too. And, sure. We're extra appreciative of having you on just because of that. We definitely relate to exactly like everything you just mentioned.
Yeah. I feel like, people who are like the kids of immigrants have a different perspective on a lot of things. I even see it with my little sister. She's my parents' daughter, but she was born here. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, it's not the same. It's really not the same. I talked to her. She's gone to Colombia. And I'm like, this is where we come from. Here's where we at. Trying to instill that. And I know she gets it, but she doesn't feel it. And that's something that's very different. Getting something and feeling something, it's completely different ballgame.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's for an immigrant child, it's like you feel so responsible for like your parents, because at some point you have to be a translator. You have to be, their guide. Mm-hmm. You have to make their appointments. You have to be there for them in ways that we have to figure it all out on our own. It's not like our parents could tell us, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you should apply. This is how you should study. It's like, at some point we just kind of were like, well, see how it goes. So definitely relate to a lot of the things that you, I was like, I was like, if I cry, this mascara.
That's why I was like, hold on. I need to like move it because I'm about to just, and like, I can't. But yeah, it takes a lot. And it's true, like being first generation or everything, like I didn't know how to apply for college.
Right.
Like what classes did I need to take? What sort of, like I remember for the SAT, I made it to the SAT in high school by miracle of God, to be honest with you, because mm-hmm. it was a Saturday, I believe. And my mom woke me up and she goes, your friend's going to take a test at school. How come you're not in school? And I'm like, what test? And what are you talking about Saturday? She goes, because you're supposed to be taking a test. And I'm like, okay, fine. I had no idea. I see everybody was Cantrons, because back in the days was Cantrons. And in a line. And I'm like, so I asked, and I'm like, what are we taking? They're like, the SAT. And I'm like, what is that? And they're like, you're here with no preparation to take this. I'm like, I guess. And I passed it somehow by a miracle. Jeez. Because I wasn't even prepared for, like, I didn't even know. My mom was almost like, you need to. So it's all of those things that you're just like winging it. You're like, okay, I guess this is next, So I think it's part of the struggle, but it's part of what shapes us, to be honest.
I really related to you when you mentioned you gave your degree to your parents after, because it was like, this belongs to you guys, not to me. And it's so funny because I've always thought of doing that. It just feels right to do that. Yeah. Like, it's not mine. It's theirs. And I feel so blessed. Have double last names, my mom's and dad's. And it's like, that's why I have double last names, because ultimately God knew that this is going to be your guys's. And you guys are, this is your degree. It's not mine.
Yeah. And here's high school. Like, the first degree I got in high school, it was them. I got my first one with my AA. It was them. I got my one from FIU, from Florida International University. It was for them. They have like the wall of like my stuff. And I'm like, this is for you guys, because thanks to you, I'm here now, about to start crying. So let's.
All right. Well, perfect timing. Let's switch gears. We're going to do a little skit now. Okay. So I'm going to be the patient and I'm going to come in with whatever. And you just diagnose. And since, you've seen a lot, you do a lot. Let's get it, all right?
Oh, it's, oh wow. Ooh, he a patient.
Hey, hello, like, what's going on? How you doing? I'm here on vacation in Miami. I'm from Cali, but, you know, not in Colombia. You feel me? Cali, West Coast. And I don't know, my left eye, it's like flashing lights. Like, I don't know what's going on. And when I blink, it like stings, like it's like stingy. But like my left eye started flashing. I don't know what's going on. Can you help me, dog?
Refer, just kidding. No, obviously you have to ask your permanent negatives, etc. Like, when did it start? You guys know the drill. Obviously you have zero choice but to get yourself dilated. And then once I get you dilated, hopefully it's all good and you're just stripping. But if it's not all good and there is an actual tear or hole, etc., baby, you gotta go. You're definitely getting referred.
Sir, do you do any recreational drugs?
I mean, yeah.
He shoots him in the eyeball.
I'm on vacation, you know. It's a bachelor party, so we having fun for sure. But you know, I'm just trying to party with my homies. You feel me?
Like a problem.
What?
Please don't tell me your flight out of Miami airport's at 4 o'clock, because that.
Yeah, I gotta go. Today's Sunday. It's the last day, you know. It's been a crazy weekend. You know, I don't even remember last night. You feel me?
Where's home?
Cali, but bro, not the other Cali.
Hey, that's right. I already forgot. It wasn't my patient.
That was good.
You should be an actor.
Oh, that should be.
Try this. It's gonna be my side hustle.
That's your side hustle?
I'm gonna try.
My side hustle is gonna be Joe Jonas.
Shooting her shot any chance she can.
Any chance. You never know, he might be watching this.
Those are Jonas Brothers.
Hey, you said you were gonna get yourself a husband.
He's coming on, so they have two concerts in Orlando. One's on Friday and one's on Monday. So I told my staff, I'm like, we got to leave a block on the schedule for an eye emergency. And I'll just throw my card on the stage so he knows on Saturday.
Just go send a couple, not one.
So are you going to try to make sure he gets hurt? Is that what you're saying? And then he's going to need to see you? Is that what you're saying?
That's her way to get him in the chair.
Perfect, guys. This is all working out. It's in my dreams. Let me get my WAP hat out right now.
Guys, do we have any other questions for
Angelica? I mean, we were talking about side hustles, but is there anything else you're looking forward to in the future now? You know, I know you've done so much since you graduated, but if we talk to you in 5 years or check in with you next year, what do you think you're going to be talking about? Are you done? Or are you accomplished?
Definitely not done. I feel like I always have something that I want to do next. I'm like, what's next?
We believe it.
Definitely want to expand By Dry Eyes to the max. Like, the sky's the limit, and I hope I'm able to blow this as much as I can. I feel like I would love to be like one of those success stories. Like, you know, that'd be so cool. Not only that, but I still have hope in one day having my little boutique dry eye clinic. You know, hopefully down the line, I'm able to achieve that. And honestly, I'm the type of person who likes to keep all the doors open. So for you to grow, you have to say yes to a lot of uncomfortable situations. And that's kind of how I go by. Like, if there's an opportunity, I say yes, I hear it out. And then if it doesn't align with my goals or what I want to do, or if I don't feel that is right, then I will say no, respectfully. But if it's something that I'm like, you know what? Like, very simple. I've been working since graduation in public speaking. I always wanted to be a little bit better at speaking in public. I feel like primarily it's because of my accent. So I was always so ashamed of my accent. And I'm like, oh my God, like, what do people think? Be-de-de-de-de. And I'm like, one day I was like, listen, my first language is Spanish, and I am so freaking proud of who I am and where I came from that, yes, I'm going to have an accent. Yes, I'm from Miami, so everybody in Miami has an accent. So to me, I'm fine. But when I go outside, I'm like, oh, okay, I might not be. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I should do public speaking so I can get over that fear, because I just didn't want to have that fear, that constant fear of like, I don't want to speak in public because of my accent. So I started working then. I started doing a few like little things. It was my first one wasn't even a little thing. J&J asked me to be part of their panelists for Hispanic Heritage Month. And that was last year in October. And it was no little event. It was like a bunch of optometrists. And I was like in a stage and I was like, I'm gonna die. And then I had no water. My mouth was like a goddamn desert. I was like, I can't even speak. It was chaos. I don't know why everybody said that it was great, because I know it was not. But whatever. Thank you for trying to make me feel better. And then after that, I was like, okay, I need to do more. So whenever they'll ask me, I'll be like, yes, yes. Even if it was like far, I was like, I'll drive, because it's gonna put me in a very uncomfortable situation. But I need to just do it, because the more I do it, the better I'm going to get at it. So I did. And so through Zoom, I've gotten a lot better. So thanks to COVID, honestly. But not even that. I was like so like embarrassed. But now I'm like, it's way easier. I feel like also because we do social media. So then it's like easier to talk to a camera. I still haven't been able to do YouTube. I don't know why YouTube to me, like, it freaks me out, but whatever. But in person, I'm doing a lot more. I'm actually going to be a panelist this weekend on Thursday for ANOVA Southeastern. I'm going to go, and I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm going to be a panelist. But it's those things about, like, you know, getting yourself in uncomfortable situations to grow as a person, as an individual. And so that's still my goals. My goals are just to continue to listen. Like the Contact Lens Institute, when they reached out to me, they're like, do you want to be part of the visionary board? I was like, first of all, what an honor. Like, how would you even, like, I didn't even know who thought of me. I was like, oh my God, like, yes, of course. Thank you. There's some other company who wants me to be part of their board. There's a few like other groups that are like now reaching out to me, and they want me to like be part of their like member board thing, board members, whatever. And so all of those things are exciting to me, because are new things in my career, are things that I can develop, are things that I can grow as a professional, and also not only grow as a professional, but grow with the goals that I had aligned for myself, as far as like not being so afraid of speaking in public and like be more out there and like, you know, all of those little goals that you put yourself through. So yeah, who knows 5 years from now, hopefully my little boutique dry eye, really want by dry eyes to just be like this big thing, God willing. And that's it. Who knows? I don't even know, honestly. I have many dreams.
Angelica, you said, well, someday when you are like influencing others and doing these things and being an inspiration, but you're already that girl, so don't hold your standards low. You did a lot for Florida for when we were doing our voting and stuff to make sure that we were staying in line and being optometrists and all that good stuff. So we appreciate you on the back end there as well. I know you were a big power for social media and such a shining star that we're so glad that you made the time to come on, and you know, hopefully
thank you so much.
There's more future pods coming.
Oh my God, yes.
Your husband is like shy, you know.
I know, he needs to stop being so shy, and I found out where he went to get some burgers.
Oh, perfect. So it's about that time.
Dinner.
You need to go eat.
I'm not eating that. He's eating that. No way.
Oh.
Never mind.
No, girl, I've been meal prepping.
That's right.
Stick to my food. Stick to my food. You know, discipline.
You're right. Discipline.
Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on. It was amazing to have you come on. And we really loved hearing from you. And, you know, we're all inspired by you. So, you know, team by dry eyes.
You guys are awesome.
Aww.
to see it.
My favorite pod.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Everyone, ladies and gentlemen, you have it here, Doctora Cifuentes.
Yay!